This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're coming up to 7:48 in the morning. It's Friday, the 24th of June. I'm Shazana Mokhtar and Wong Xiaoning. We're the Morning Run. Now we are turning our attention to politics. On Wednesday, the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council gave the government an ultimatum to announce a plan to tackle cost of living issues within 24 hours. Otherwise, the coalition will take a number of steps, including mass mobilization with civil society and other groups. This comes after the government announced that ceiling prices for chicken and eggs will be removed from July 1st onwards. PH said that the government has not announced any mechanism, fund, or timeline for the implementation of targeted subsidies, and Malaysians don't have enough time to prepare for the looming rise in the cost of living.
Now, this ultimatum comes at a time of political turmoil for both the Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri's government and the opposition, as calls for GE15 to be held continue within UMNO and Barisan Nasional. While UMNO and BN grow more confident in their ability to win the elections, PH, on the other hand, is in danger of losing support amidst a lack of clear policy goals and an overall strategy to counter the incumbent coalition. So, can PH shift the balance in their favour at this 11th hour, or will GE15 be a washout for the opposition?
For a political prognosis on Pakatan Harapan, we speak to Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Good morning, James. Always good to have you on the show. I want to start with Pakatan Harapan's ultimatum this week for the government to deal with the cost of living issue. It had me scratching my head. Why do you think they decided to take this action?
Good morning. So I think the reason why they issued the ultimatum is because they realized that there is lots of anger at the ground level, especially among the B40 or what the B50 is now. The number of people at the bottom has actually increased since the pandemic. So I think they saw a lot of anger there and they really needed to do something. And the easiest way was to issue a press statement through the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council. But the strange part, of course, is that they issue an ultimatum threatening the government that if the government do not come up with clear policies to help the people at the bottom, they will organize mass street rallies to overthrow the government. I thought that part was a bit strange. But anyway, the 24 hours has passed. So I'm hoping that Pakatan will actually follow through on the ultimatum and that they will organize some large street demonstrations. Now, the reason why I'm in favor of large street demonstrations is, as you mentioned in your introduction, Pakatan is losing steam among the people. And if they can hold a really large demonstration, then perhaps they can get back some of the momentum against the government as we head towards GE15.
Now, I'm just going to take a few steps back, James. The Pakatan Harapan themselves, as a government, they haven't actually really come up with any concrete plans, right, to tackle inflation. I mean, have they come up with their own policy proposals?
At the present moment, no. But if you look at what they did when they were in power, was that they were also very much in favor of direct subsidies. So, for example, they actually gave more direct cash to the lower income group than during the Barisan Nasional years. So they actually increased the amount given out. The government has also announced that they're going to give an additional 150 to 200 ringgit as well. But the big thing is that you're removing subsidies from the three key items. I think it's cooking oil, eggs and chicken, and that will really spiral out of control. The reason is because, as many of your listeners know, on items like chicken, there's actually a cartel operating in the background, like most key Malaysian products. So these people are really going to jack up the price, and I'm not sure the government can do anything much about it. So even though the government has increased the cash give out to the lower paid population, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. So in some ways, I'm not sure why the government lift the subsidy, but it's sort of a very foolish move given the fact that the GE15 is coming so close.
Okay, so you did mention chicken cartel. I think the MyCC, the Competition Commission, is going to come up with its pronouncement on this on Monday. So essentially, Pakatan Harapan's ultimatum was as a foil to what the government is doing. But how do you think PH supporters, perceive this messaging, especially in contrast to the bipartisan signal sent out through the MOU that was signed last year? So on one hand, PH seemed to be friendly towards the government, but now they're taking that more aggressive stance. Do you think this helps or hinders the opposition's credibility?
Well, in terms of credibility, the answer is very obvious. Now that the government has refused to answer the ultimatum, Pakatan must organize street rallies. If Pakatan doesn't organize any street rallies, this will damage their credibility further. So that's fairly straightforward. Now, in terms of whether Pakatan can mount a challenge to the government, the reading on the ground is quite clear to me, at least. They are losing momentum, and that's the reason why they really need a big event like a mass street demonstration. If you guys remember, right, things like Hindraf 2008, 2012, all those big push against the government, a lot of the momentum was actually generated during street protests. So if Pakatan can hold a big street protest, I suspect they will get a big bit of the momentum back. The problem is that whether they want to do it, because the ultimate fear is that if we organize a street protest and very few people turn out, and when I talk about very few people, I'm talking about less than 5,000, then it will be a double failure on the part of Pakatan. So that's always the consideration at the back of the minds of the Pakatan leadership.
Then what does this mean for the MOU though, James? It's going to expire soon at end of July. I mean, do you think they will then extend it?
Yes. So among a section of the Pakatan leadership, they want to hold on to the MOU. In fact, there were some negotiations with the government on the extended MOU. The reason is because Pakatan do not want an early general election. As I mentioned, the reading on the ground is negative for Pakatan. So they want to extend the MOU as much as possible, and also to support Ismail Sabri, because they know Ismail Sabri is fighting with UMNO. That's the reality. So they want to disrupt Barisan Nasional and disrupt the government as much as possible. The problem is Ismail Sabri is actually losing ground in his fight with UMNO. So my take is that the general election is coming very soon. At the present moment, the sort of dates that they're discussing at the leadership level is probably August and September, latest by October. So we can expect a general election very, very soon, within the next few months.
But James, is the messaging then conflicted? Because you've got, on one hand, you say that the opposition is going to, you know, try and continue with the MOU. Then on the other hand, you have these mass protests. So if you're a rakyat, I mean, do you get confused? What is the opposition stand actually? Are you for or against, you know?
Look, double take, hypocrisy, double standards. This is standard in Malaysian politics. So for the opposition, on for the ground, for the government, right, the reality is that in Malaysian politics, because of social media, right, people can't remember what happened 48 hours ago. So it really doesn't matter. It's all about building momentum. It's all about preparing a machinery for the election. For the ordinary rakyat, yes, it is true. They're very confused by the different messaging coming out of the opposition side. But don't forget, they're also getting confusing signals from the government side. Because on the government side, if you listen to certain factions in UMNO, they're saying that Ismail Sabri must call election immediately in the next 48 hours. And on the Ismail Sabri side, they're saying that we do not want elections. So both sides are actually sending out confusing signals. So basically, the problem is Malaysia is in paralysis, and I've always argued consistently that we need a general election to sort out this mess. There must be a clear winner in the GE15, otherwise this paralysis will persist in Malaysian politics.
Okay, and if we look ahead to GE15 and what some political parties think their chances are, we have incoming PKR Deputy President Rafizi Ramli saying that PH can win the next GE if 70% of its hardcore supporters come out to vote. Do you agree with this?
The problem with talking about figures for GE15, right? I won't take seriously anybody talking about figures, because when they talk about figures like 70%, all these things, they're basing it on the results of GE14. Most people forget that GE15 is a completely new election, because you got 18, 19, 20-year-olds coming into, millions of new voters coming in. So when you talk about figures, I won't take it very seriously. And in any case, nobody can predict what's going to happen. I mean, even I myself, who has a sort of a good record in trying to predict who wins, I only predict in the middle of the campaign. Now it's just too early because there's too many unknowns.
So who do you think? Okay, now I'm asking you to guess a little bit, James, because we're, of course, you know, campaigning hasn't even started. But who do you think will be taking away most of the votes from Pakatan Harapan in the next elections?
Right. So in terms of the people taking the votes away from the Pakatan, in terms of the Malay voters who voted for Pakatan for the first time in 2018, that group only have two choices. Either they move back to the governing coalition or they don't vote. They really don't have a third option. So basically, they go back and support UMNO or PAS, which is the traditional route, or they stay at home. Because I suspect what will happen is that if Pakatan doesn't get its act together, if they don't come up with a united front, you know, certain sections of the Malay public that used to vote for them will say that, you know, we gave you a chance in 2018, you just can't seem to hold it together. So either we are very disappointed, we stay home and watch Astro, watch a movie, or we simply go back to vote for UMNO. Because the idea that UMNO is actually selling a very simple message: if you want political stability, vote for us, which is a very simple message everybody understands. And that's not only for the Malays, but also for the non-Malays as well.
So James, do you expect a very low voter turnout then this time?
No, like I said, it's a bit too early. Mm. We have to see how the build-up to the election will take place. As somebody mentioned to me very recently in Kuala Lumpur, a lot will not only depend on the date, but it depends on the circumstances. Because the latest talk in Kuala Lumpur circles is that they will release the budget full of goodies, and before the budget is passed, they will call for general election. So the context of the timing is really, really important. So I don't want to second guess, because that would be crazy.
So very quickly, James, when do you think GE15 will be called then? You mentioned after budget is announced, but before it's passed?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is the current talk. But my guess is that it's probably be August, September, October. These 3 months are the best time on the governing side, on the UMNO side, to call for elections.
All right, James, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, giving us a lot of food for thought in terms of what Pakatan Harapan needs to do and looking ahead to GE15. It's 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, Kusu Chuang will be discussing GST with a panel of experts. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.